This is an exclusive excerpt from the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder.
Have you ever thought of playing chess underwater? That is a thing, you know. It's called diving chess, and there are even world championships. Eitan Ilfeld is the inventor of diving chess, and he joins us on the line via Skype from London, England. Hi, Eitan.
Hey, Peter. It's a pleasure to be on the show.
Thanks for being on the program with us. So I was looking around for news items, and I came across the story of the championships and a video of it, and I said, oh, no, we have to find out more about this. So since you are the inventor, the creator of diving chess, I have to ask you right off the bat, how did this come about?
Sure. Yeah, it's a bit of a wacky thing, and it's a lot of fun. First, let me ask you, where did you see it, or how did you hear about it? Because we had this year, we've been running the Diving Chess World Championships for several years now, and we had a Reuters journalist, and I got reports that people saw it all over the world, in the Philippines, in Australia, you know, in the States, in Canada, really just all over. So I'm wondering, yeah, how did you see it?
Well,
was it on local news or the internet or what?
I think you just answered the question. I go through many news services through the course of the week looking for interesting stories, and this one came up. So it might have been the Reuters report that you mentioned. And also, it came with an accompanying video, so I've seen what it looks like. But I want to know, because, you know, when you see the word chess diving, you get an idea that it's from a high height, and that's just not the case. So explain what chess diving is.
So basically, you're playing chess in a swimming pool. The board is submerged, so it's at the bottom of the pool. And instead of using a chess clock, serious chess players always use a chess clock. Otherwise, if you're in a bad position, you would just basically not move until your opponent gets frustrated. So you have to you know, have some sort of mechanism to keep the pace going. And the mechanism here is very simple. Instead of a chess clock, it's your breath. So basically, you can think for as long as you hold your breath for each move. So you go down, you have to make a move before you come back up above water, and then your opponent, he or she, has to dive back down, and they have to make a move before they reemerge, and so on and so on. As soon as they come up, you go down, you have to make a move, and it just goes on until someone wins. And it's normal chess, you're still playing chess, but you're basically using your breath, and it's quite physically challenging.
Now, do you have to use any kind of special board? I would assume the pieces had to be a little bit weighted down so they don't kind of float away.
Oh, yeah. So over the years, I've improved the customized boards that we use, where the pieces are weighted and we've got very strong magnets on the pieces. So there's no way that the piece will, I don't know, fall over because someone's kicking around and splashing in the pool. I mean, these pieces are very, very sturdy.
Now, it's one thing to create a game, to create something like this, but it's another thing to get people to agree to it. So when you first came up with the idea of this, how did you bring it to others, and how did you get, and how on board were they?
So let me go back a bit to the origin of the game. I've always loved playing chess. I love chess. It's a great game, and there's so many great tempos to play, different variations as well. It's an amazing game. And I'm a USCF chess master, and I've been living in London now for 11 years. Back in 2008, I went to this board game tournament called the Mind Sports Olympiad, where you compete in lots of different games. I went there to play chess, but they had people competing in Scrabble and lots of other new cool games. What was interesting was I found out about all these different games, and I basically wanted to learn and try different things. So I came back the following year and played again, and I tried lots of other games. And then there's this really bizarre tournament called the Creative Thinking World Championship. And that's a very strange thing, where basically you have to come up with a lot of crazy ideas, and you have all these open-ended questions. And it's I guess most of the things are objectively marked, but some are a little bit subjective. And it was in that competition that I came up with the idea of diving chess, where I thought, wow, how could I combine two things and make chess more challenging? Also, going back to chess, you know, everybody agrees that it's an extremely cerebral thing. There's no doubt about that. So some people say that maybe it's a bit of a science, but also it's a bit of an art as well. There's a lot of creativity and beauty in the game as well. Chess has a lot of depth. But some people have tried to make the argument that perhaps chess is a sport. And this can be quite controversial. You know, obviously, being in good shape will mean that you'll probably do better in a multi-day tournament. And if you play in a chess tournament, you get used to playing very long games. So you might be playing 2 games a day, 5 hours each. You might be 10 hours of playing. So being in good shape is important. There's no doubt about that. But is it a sport? I don't know. I'm not sure the chess itself, regular tournament chess, is a sport. But I thought, what can I do to create a version of it that definitely is a sport? How can I make it physically demanding and play with the idea of time? And that's basically how I came up with Diving Chess. And I started off as a volunteer after falling in love with this idea of the Mind Sports Olympiad, where you play lots of games. And so I volunteered to organize some of the future tournaments. And since then, I've been running the annual Mind Sports Olympiad. Like I said, it's this amazing board game tournament and festival in London. And by running it, I also had a platform to introduce Diving Chess to a lot of crazy game players, basically, who are open to trying something new. And so the first Diving Chess World Championship, I think, was in 2013, something like that. And people just thought it was a lot of fun. It's really built up since. And it's very quirky. I mean, it's not that interesting to watch people play chess, but when you see people playing chess in a swimming pool, that's actually visually stimulating.
It's a little difficult, though, for it to be a spectator sport unless everything has a camera underwater and it's also shown on a video somewhere. So clearly, when you first started this, because of the location that you were doing it at, you had a built-in audience. How did you get it to build and grow beyond what is essentially a quirky bunch of guys and gals who are really up for anything?
Right, absolutely. Well, I think it was really getting some good video. So I took some GoPro cameras and got some cool videos, and people were just extremely entertained by these videos, much as you were, I guess. They started contacting me, and it already had a good amount of press over the last few years and in a lot of places. Sometimes I'm even surprised to hear where people have seen it. And I've had people reach out to me also asking to buy custom-made diving chess boards, which I've even sold a few, but I haven't really tried to build much on that. But it's just been cool to learn and grow this sport. And there's also been a lot in terms of the competition. I mean, it's gotten stronger and stronger over the years. We keep having newcomers, but what's interesting, we're still forming some of the rules. So there's a little bit of a debate at the moment as to whether or not you should be able to use a wetsuit, because actually it gets really cold when you're in a swimming pool for several hours. Our world championship, it takes about 4.5 hours, and you're spending, I guess, 80% of that time in the pool. Between rounds, people, they go and take a hot shower, they go to the sauna, you really got to warm up, or you swim laps, because when you're just diving into a pool up and down and then standing and then thinking and making a move, there's not enough blood flow. So it can get quite cold. If you're in a warm pool, obviously, I guess London's pretty chilly, but in a warmer climate or a very heated pool, that wouldn't be as much of an issue. But physically, that's already one challenging question. And then also, if you see some of our videos, you'll notice that it's actually not that easy to dive to the bottom of the swimming pool and stay down. You usually need to exhale in order to sink. So people work on different types of techniques to be able to do that. Some people use weights, and that's also been an interesting thing, which we're figuring out. Is it, should weights be banned or not? Because a weight will help you sink and do that. These are all really tough and interesting questions, and we're still figuring out. At the moment, we let people bring equipment to and choose the type of goggles they want to use. But obviously, you can't use any scuba gear or anything like that. You've got to, you still have to hold your breath at the end of the day.
How big do you think this can get? How big would you like it to get?
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, I just want people to have fun, right? How big can it get? I don't know. Anything's possible. I mean, there are a lot of swimming pools in the world and a lot of people who like chess. So I guess the sky's the limit. It's not something that I'm working too actively to promote. I just really enjoy running the world championship every year. And if people want to know more about it and reach out to me, I'm happy to try and help out.
Be honest, in your deepest, darkest dreams, would you like to see in a world, would you like to see a world where somebody will say, chess on land is so passe?
Well, that would be very entertaining. First of all, I don't think that will ever be completely true, because obviously there's different types of chess, and I love traditional chess as well. But sure, of course, it would be entertaining, and you know, if it ever became an Olympic sport one day, that would boggle my mind for sure. That would be amazing. But yeah, I mean, right now we're just, you know, really just having fun with it and trying to improve the standards of it. But yeah, I think that if people want to try it and they want something that's challenging and different, it's definitely a very cool version of chess. I mean, at the Mind Sports Olympiad, which this is one of the events, so. We have lots of different chess variants. For people who aren't used to who are still, you know, who don't play normal chess, they may not know that there are crazy variations. In the States, there's one called Bug House, which we call exchange chess, where you play on two boards and you can take pieces and transfer them to the other board. There's lots of cool chess variants, and there's lots of great games in the world.
So if people want more information, they can go to the website, which is msoworld.com, correct?
Absolutely, yeah, msoworld.com. And you can learn a lot more about the Mind Sports Olympiad that takes place every year in London. We've got crazy games from diving chess to wacky events like speed reading, where we had someone read a 400-page book this year in 64 minutes. Yeah, there's lots of cool things happening. And I want people to try new games and challenge themselves. That's what it's all about.
I know we've been talking about diving chess, or chess diving, but will you come back on the program and talk a little bit more on another point about some of the other games that you are talking about with the MSO World?
Oh, I would absolutely love to do that. We've got over 80 different games and over a dozen world championships, so there's a lot of interesting stories there.
So we'll have you back on. I thank you for being on the program with us.
Thank you, Peter. It's been a pleasure.
Eitan Ilfeld, the inventor of diving chess. You can find out more about it and the other games he was talking about by going to msoworld.com. And you can go to my website at thestufffile.com, check out the show number for this program, which is show number 0474, and you'll find links to their site and also links to Eitan's.
You've just heard an exclusive excerpt from the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. To hear any or all of the full hour-long shows, visit thestufffile.com. Stuff is spelled S-T-U-P-H. That's thestufffile.com. A presentation of Flying Fish Communications.